Chapter 10, The Sun with Healing. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2. One desire was strong in my heart. I wanted to follow Navneetan's example and testify, as she had done, to my union with Christ in death and resurrection. The scriptures meant so much more to me now, and the formal baptism service of 23 years ago seemed remote and without meaning. I am sure God was speaking to me as He had lately spoken to her. When therefore another Pentecostal pastor, one whom in my worldly days God had used to show me the wrong of smoking, called on me now to comfort me in my great sorrow, I asked him if he would baptize me. He was taken aback, for he already knew I did not favor Pentecostalism. Furthermore, I told him he should clearly understand that after the baptism, I would have nothing to do with the Pentecostal movement as such. As far as his denomination was concerned, it would end there. I was not becoming a Pentecostalist. To my joy, in spite of this, he graciously consented. Next day, therefore, after work, we went out to the North Beach. I had not told the others, fearing they would not understand. But on the way there, in a rickshaw, I chanced to meet Brother George Rajaratnam. So I explained to him what I was doing. "If that is what the Lord tells you," he said, "go ahead." It was the time of the mango showers that herald the southwest monsoon and bring a foretaste of refreshing to the parched countryside. When we arrived at the beach, the pastor's congregation was there, but so was the rain. As we went into the water, it came down into torrents, and the waves were too high. Somehow, in those drenching minutes, I was lifted in spirit between earth and heaven. God really blessed me in that baptism. It was with a lighter heart that, after going to their faith home for a change of clothing, I returned very late that night to my house and the little ones. The brothers used to gather at my home for prayer. We began to ask God to give us at least a small shed for our meetings. But Dorai Raj warned, "Now that we have taken this stand, many others will follow us. We must be very careful how we lead them." So we waited together to see what God would do. Now at last, a telegram arrived from Brother Bhakt Singh. "I am coming." Up there in Kunur, they had been praying and could get no answer but this, that he must return to Madras. It was not at all what he wished to do. He was at the height of his ministry and there were many doors open to him all over the land. For a time, therefore, he had strongly resisted our Macedonian call. But the Lord was insistent, until at length he fell on his face and said, "Lord, I will go to Madras." As he did so, joy began to flood his heart. There have been those who have charged Brother Bhakt Singh with coming to Madras intent on dividing the churches, but it was never so. God drove him here against his will. No man and no quarrel between men brought into being the fellowship of brothers that was to spring from this step of obedience. No one wanted division then. It was something forced upon us. From our side too, there had begun to be doubts about his coming. "We have too much grief just now," Dorai Raj exclaimed on receiving his telegram, "and no one will receive him yet. Let us wire and stop him. Our brother, we now feared, would be boycotted by the Christian authorities and must arrive unhonored and unsung." Nevertheless, he came in obedience to God's call. Brother Raymond Galsworthy was with him and we rented a small house for them for 3 days. Immediately, we all began to pray, asking God to show us the next step. The outcome was a decision to spend a whole night in prayer at some quiet spot away from Madras. With this in view, Dorai Raj arranged for us to go to Pallavaram Hill, where we knew of a Muslim mosque on a hilltop that was rarely visited. When they came and invited me to go with them, I at first asked to be excused, pleading my great grief. They urged me, however, and I finally consented. So on the Saturday evening, we started out by train for Pallavaram. There were about 17 of us in all. The hill lies beyond what is now Meenambakkam Airport. At its foot is a school, and there we sat down to our evening meal. And then we started out to climb to the top. We had Petromax pressure lamps to light the way. The path was steep and rocky, and beset with thorns. And somehow, too, the whole area seemed alive with creatures, snakes, scorpions, and centipedes. But so great was my own grief that I was beyond caring. Moreover, news of my baptism had already got around, and because of it, none of the others, except Brother George, felt free to speak to me. It was a strange, eerie climb. At last we reached the summit and the little deserted mosque, and there in its shelter we knelt and began to pray. Now Brother Bhakt Singh lifted up his heart to God. "Lord, what shall we do?" he began. Whereupon a large scorpion fell on his foot, making him jump with alarm. No sooner had it been disposed of than someone else was attacked by a centipede. Now, as our brother began to pray once more, Manoharan, the cricketer, stopped him. "Don't pray," he cried, and pointing to me, he went on, "Before you do so, first ask this man why he got himself baptized." All were dismayed at this interruption. Brother Bhakt Singh was upset that anyone should have raised this topic, which until now, both he and Brother Raymond Galsworthy had avoided in their preaching, feeling it would be a cause of dissension among us. But he turned to me now. "Why was it?" he inquired. I answered simply, "Because the Lord asked me to." Then a brother asked, "But were you not already baptized?" I was very upset by this question and cried out in my powerful voice, "Yes, brother, but if the Lord asked me to do so, I would be baptized 10,000 times. 20 years ago, I did not know what it was all about, but I am now both converted and convinced." Anxious to avoid controversy, Brother Bhakt Singh said, "All right, brothers, now let us pray." But Dorai Raj cried out, "How can we pray in this mood?" That brother asked this question because he does not hold with believers' baptism. "Now please tell us whether it is right or wrong." So Brother Bhakt Singh rapidly gave us a few verses from the scripture on the subject. This seemed to set our hearts at rest. And when again he said, "Now we will pray," we found ourselves united. Now at last prayer began in earnest. Yet the evil one had by no means finished with us. As we prayed, a strong wind started to blow, a forerunner of the longed-for monsoon. Its effect on us, however, was to create only confusion. One by one, our pressure lights flared and went out, and soon we had used up all our matches trying to relight them. In the darkness, the centipedes began once more to creep around our legs. The place seemed infested with stinging and crawling creatures. While one brother was praying, another would leap because something crawled over him. The Muslim watchman had warned us they were deadly. The devil, it seemed, did not want us to pray. And truly, we several times felt like giving up. It was as though all the powers of darkness were united against us. But Brother Bhakt Singh encouraged us to pray on regardless of the invaders. And wonderfully, after a while, they withdrew and the trouble ceased. Now we enjoyed a time of undisturbed prayer lasting right through until 6 o'clock in the morning. The Spirit of God was with us and gave us real liberty. It seemed that the forces of darkness that had threatened us had yielded at last to the host of the living God. With the passing hours, we felt ourselves lifted above our troubles and brought nearer to Him. With daybreak, we looked down on a world of receding shadows. To the north of us, the rising smoke of hearth fires showed the city awakening to a new day. Eastward lay the silver coastline, while away in the west, distant clouds held promise of the rains to come. Then as we watched, the sun rose out of the sea and bathed the whole of Madras in its golden light. The Lord seemed to say, "Behold, this city lies before you. Go down and possess it for me." It was an hour we were long to remember. We descended to the foot of the hill, and after washing, we went to have our individual quiet times with God. I retired to a corner on my own to seek in His word comfort for my sorrows. Soon, however, a brother came and interrupted me. "You were so strong on baptism last night," he said, "and I think you are right. Can you show me more about it from the word of God?" I had my Bible open, but with eyes closed, I began to quote from memory certain scriptures and to talk to him about them. Suddenly, I opened my eyes to find that others had silently gathered around me and were eagerly listening. They now express their regret for the argument of the previous night and for misunderstanding the step of obedience I had taken. George Rajaratnam in particular was under great conviction about the matter, affirming loudly that he too must testify in baptism. Then just Brother Bhakt Singh came up. "What is happening?" he asked. "Brother," I said, "they are wanting to be baptized." "Why not today?" someone else asked. "Is it not Sunday? What better day?" "We will have breakfast," Brother Bhakt Singh replied, "and then ask the Lord what we should do." We did so, and after prayer, he turned to me. "What do you think about it, Rajamani?" I replied, "When anyone asks for baptism, you cannot refuse it." Then Brother Bhakt Singh said, "I feel in my spirit that there should be no baptism today. People will think we are cunning, doing things stealthily. The Lord has been bringing to me these words, he and all his household. A man's baptism should be a testimony at least to his family. Go home and tell your wives and neighbors and friends and your enemies too, if you will. Invite them all to come here next week and witness your baptism." So this we did. The following Sunday, all returned to the same place bringing their wives, families and friends and a very big gathering. We had found a large cement-lined tub nearby and the brothers had cleaned it out and filled it with water. In this, about 16 believers, men and women, confessed in baptism their union with the Lord. Then in prayer over each one with the laying on of hands, we testified to their oneness in Christ with every child of God in his whole body worldwide. After that, we joined together in worshipping the Lord with breaking of bread. It was a significant day for Madras, for on that day, the assembly we now know came to birth. When we came to the station and boarded a train to return to the city, it seemed as though the compartment was on fire. Such was the power and glory of the Lord upon us. At each station, the passengers would get down and come crowding round our compartment to see what was going on, as over and over we sang the chorus, "Kalvarian Tangem, Thou Glorious One of Calvary."